In 2011, the U.S. Supreme Court ordered California to reduce its overcrowded prisons. Sweeping reforms called realignment shifted the responsibility for thousands of inmates to county jails. Since then, there's been a sharp rise in jail inmate deaths, most notably in Fresno County. I spoke with reporters Jason Pohl of the Sacramento Bee and Ryan Gabrielson of ProPublica about their investigative series called Overcorrection. Jason Pohl starts by comparing the 7 years before and after realignment.
The dynamics inside Fresno County's jail have long been the subject of criticism. There's been some issues that have been there for a couple decades. But what's happened inside in the past 7 years is the number of deaths have basically doubled compared to the same time frame 7 years before realignment. So what that translates to is, as our reporting kind of shows, a more volatile situation with correctional officers that in many cases seem to be either outmatched or understaffed and unable to perform some of the basic duties that correctional officers are expected to perform.
And Jason, one of the characters, Ernest Brock, his story was really heartbreaking. Well, all three of them are, but this one in particular really struck me. Could you tell us about that, about him?
Sure. So Ernest Brock had initially been arrested in 2017, but the prosecutors didn't file charges in time, and so he was ultimately released. His mother told us that as she understood it and as Mr. Brock understood it, everything was fine. One day in January 2018, however, the sheriff's office showed up at his house and arrested him for the same allegations that they had back the year prior. Well, fast forward about 24 hours or so, he ends up having a conversation from inside the jail with his mother, saying that he was concerned for his safety. He thought that his cellmate, who was acting erratically and apparently smashing his head against the wall and just being very frightening, he was worried that this cellmate might attack him. Well, his mother, throughout the night, worried about him and checked the online registry to see if he'd been moved. She had told him to request a different cellmate if he got too concerned. Well, finally, she ended up seeing that that her son had been moved, but it was to the hospital. So she frantically the next day goes down to the jail and tries to get information, and ultimately she ends up at the hospital in Fresno where her son is in a coma, and it turns out that he had been strangled, allegedly by a cellmate.
Who was psychotic.
That's right.
And had not been taking his medication, correct?
That's correct. This is Ryan. One of the features of the Fresno County Jail is not only that it's, you know, sort of crowded to the max, is that Fresno County produces one of the highest rates of people needing referrals or to be transferred to the state mental hospitals. And there, at the time that this was all happening, the wait list statewide was 1,000 people. So this person who became Ernest Brock's cellmate, at least a month before, had been ordered transferred to a secure facility where they could forcibly medicate him. Without medication, in a very unpleasant environment inside the county jail, he had devolved into a pretty severe state of psychosis, clearly. Regardless, the jail did not segregate him, did not isolate him to keep other people safe from him, and clearly didn't seem to be even keeping him safe for himself. And exposed, you know, Ernest Brock, to life-threatening danger.
And Ryan, why was Ernest Brock in jail?
He was charged with downloading or uploading to a server child pornography.
Okay. So one thing I also noticed in your article is that you said the Fresno County Jail doesn't segregate those awaiting trial from those convicted. Is that unusual? And what are the drawbacks?
Well, this is Ryan. It varies. Some counties have facilities that are exclusively for pre-trial detainees. They're kept in entirely different buildings. But if you don't have the I guess you could call it, the luxury of having one facility for sentenced folks and one facility for people who are still going through the process. You have to organize them, or I don't know if you have to. You don't have to do anything, but it's not that uncommon to organize by risk rather than by status. So you put people who have gang affiliations with people who have very similar gang affiliations, so you don't have, inter-gang fights, between the Southerners and Northerners or Bulldogs. So from one end, it makes sense. From the other end, if sentenced folks are an entirely different point in the process than people who are pretrial, and it's not unimportant that people who are pretrial are still innocent in the eyes of the law.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because you also have another person in your story, Lorenzo Herrera. He was 19 years old, and he was put in a gang pod, correct?
That's right. This is Jason.
And so what happened to him?
So what happened to Lorenzo Herrera, who was 19, is during his intake and booking in January 2018 into the Fresno County Jail, he identified himself as a gang member. And during that classification process, as the jail staff is deciding where to house someone, they ask a series of questions, and among those questions is, are you fearful of anybody in this facility? Is there anything that we should know that could potentially jeopardize your safety while you're in our custody? And he said no to that, and he was ultimately housed in a pod for designated Norteño gang members. About two months after he was arrested, about noon on March 24th, 2018, correctional officers who were doing rounds ended up finding him strangled to death in a jail cell on a bunk bed. The mystery surrounding what exactly happened that day continues. The jail does not know, and the sheriff has not identified who or whom is responsible for this death, the murder of Lorenzo Herrera. And to this day, there's active litigation about the case, because at this point, it's an unsolved homicide.
So in your reporting, what have you found in terms of why deaths are disproportionate in counties like Fresno? Jason or Paul?
This is Jason. I think that's one of the questions that we're trying to better understand throughout the course of this reporting. What's happened in the years since 2011's realignment is not uniform across California. Some counties are seeing things change in ways that other counties are not. So in the Central Valley, for example, inmate-on-inmate homicides have tripled, and suicides are up about 23% or so. Now, that's obviously alarming for a number of reasons, and a lot of folks have told us that that's something they definitely want to better understand. But that's not being reflected elsewhere, like in coastal areas. And what our analysis has shown is that there's a number of factors driving that might be demographic, but that also have to do with decision making on the part of counties, who are now, by the way, in possession of millions of dollars of taxpayer funds to help deal with this increased responsibility in the aftermath of realignment.
So they could use that money to improve conditions or improve inmates' well-being, but maybe choose to use it otherwise?
Yeah, or choose to, this is Ryan here, or choose, as some counties have done, to increase programs to basically maintain folks outside of jails, to have alternatives to custody where you're monitoring people or you're helping to encourage them to make their court dates without holding them in cells. That was one of the stated objectives of the realignment, was to reduce the number of people being held, period, across California, which it certainly has done in dramatic ways. But some places, and that's one of the things that appears to be the case, particularly in the Central Valley, in places like Fresno and in Kern, where you have seen, pretty sharp increases in inmate-on-inmate homicides, is they have continued to rely very heavily on incarceration.
So what are they using these millions of dollars for?
Staff salaries, in part, to pay for additional correctional officers or to replace correctional officers who are retiring is one of the big ways they're spending it. In Fresno, they are currently constructing a new jail facility, which is scheduled to be completed, I believe, in a couple of years.
So this is part of a greater reporting expedition, and we look forward to hearing some of your other stories. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.